Pascha Week is a period in the year where the Church relives hour by hour all the events of the final days of our Lord Jesus Christ, culminating in his victorious crucifixion and his glorious resurrection. Upper Room Media presents to you the Pascha Week sermons.
What a privilege it is again to be here experiencing another Pascha Week in 2024. On Monday, we had Father Andrew come and speak to us and give us a message. And I just want to recap a couple of things that stood out on Monday. He spoke about God's tough love for us and how that's important to bring us closer to God. And he also spoke about this idea of sincerity over sinlessness and how God doesn't necessarily expect us to be perfect, but working towards this idea of sincerity. Yesterday we had Father Emmanuel also share a message with us, and three things stood out from that message. The first one was, when the Lord enters our hearts, what will he find? Will he find that sweet smelling aroma? Will he find that closeness to him, or will he find it empty? He talked about the church being like Noah's Ark, and were we inside the Ark or were we found outside the Ark? And then he spoke about the Holy Spirit and how fervent that Holy Spirit is in our lives. And if it's alive in us, how receptive are we to the Word of God when we read it? Tonight brings us to the focus of a really important part in the Passion Week. The story was shared three times today, two times tonight, and one earlier in the morning Pascha. And it's a story that we all love because I feel like we can resonate with both people or both figures in those stories. One is Mary. And the other is Judas. There is four accounts of the story of the oil being poured on Jesus' feet and his head. One we know is Mary of Bethany, who's Martha's sister. The other is identified as a woman. And some of the church fathers speak about it or speak about the person being Mary Magdalene. But there's no definitive name accounted to that person. But for tonight, we're just going to refer to her as Mary, just because it encompasses the four stories. So when we look a little bit deeper into this narrative or this story tonight in the Gospels, we can reflect on both characters and see what we can learn in what happened. So let's start with Mary of Bethany. This Mary of Bethany is Martha's sister and Lazarus's sister, Lazarus's sister. And this is the same Mary that decided to sit at Jesus' feet when Martha invited Jesus into her home. So I think the first thing tonight that is really important to understand is Mary decided to sit at Jesus' feet. Martha was busy in the room, but Mary was the one who chose the better and sat at Jesus' feet. The next thing was that Mary was the one who decided to break the jar and pour it on Jesus' head and anoint his feet. And again, we're led to Jesus' feet where she shows her humility and her love. She was also the Mary who wept at Jesus' feet when Lazarus was dead in the tomb. She comes to Jesus and she says, "My brother, he's dead. Can you raise him up from the dead?" And it's again at Jesus' feet that Jesus hears her voice and really responds to her. And it's also significant because in the Passover, Jesus also washed his disciples' feet. And so it's at the feet of people and at the feet of Jesus that we really truly start to understand this relationship between Jesus and us. There's three things that I'd like to share with you in terms of Mary and her personality. First of all, Mary had a deep appreciation for Jesus. There's a story that really inspired me when we were away. We usually go on family holidays. This is about maybe 6 or 7 years ago. But there was a man walking past us on a beach. He was dressed in a white robe with a belt around his waist. And as he walked past us, he smelt like something like an incense or like frankincense or spikenard, something that was like really catching to the senses. And my brother and I witnessed this person walk past us, and he was kind of making his way up to the rocks, so we decided to follow him. So we kind of made it a bit secretive because we didn't want him to notice that we were kind of following his tracks. And so he got to the rocks, and he kind of made himself a little bit distant and alone, and he got on his knees, and he started to kind of look like he was praying. And it was a bit odd. We kind of didn't really understand what was taking place. We made ourselves very discreet not to kind of disrupt him, but as he was finishing, my brother and I just kind of took a few steps back and pretended that we were just hanging out, enjoying the sunshine. But he made his way towards us quite direct, and we were like, oh no, is he coming towards us? What are we going to do? So he comes up to us and he says, are you Christians? And we kind of like were a little bit shocked. We responded, yeah, we're Christians. We go to church, you know, like. He goes, let me tell you a story. And he just started speaking about his journey with God. And he told us that he was in jail for a long time. And one night a priest had come with a Bible. And he said that night, the priest said, if you really want to know who God is, just pray and ask for him to reveal himself to you. So that night that man prayed and he asked, God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. So that night he's asleep. And he said it was as if he was having a dream. He didn't really understand, like, was he awake or was he asleep? But he said Jesus reached into his heart with his pinky and just touched his heart. And from that moment, he broke down and just was full of repentance. And in the story earlier of Mary that breaks the spikenard flask on Jesus' feet, she came to seek his repentance. That woman was never forgotten in Jesus' eyes. He healed her completely. And so there's this part of us that sometimes experiences a deep repentance for Jesus. Just as this woman who broke the flask on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her tears. How appreciative is Jesus of that gesture? How changed of a woman is she for breaking that oil on his feet and asking for forgiveness? How precious is that story of that man who devoted his life to Jesus after just being touched with the pinky of Jesus in his heart? And he went on to tell us about every day he'd come out to this same rock and he would pray every single day. Every single day he'd come out to the rock and pray, and then he'd go and preach to the people on the beach. He'd go and spread the word of God. And I thought that was really, really powerful just to hear that. There's another story of a friend who we got to experience something really special. One day we woke up and we seen this friend. He was staying with us for a little bit, and we woke up one day and he was outside early in the morning and he had a basket with him full of water. And we walked outside and we were trying to understand what he's doing at like 7:30 a.m. and he's washing something. And then we realized that he's actually washing his tonya, the vestment that he puts on Sundays, and he's washing it with his hands. And we were perplexed. Why would this person be washing a tonya with his hands? And we said, why did you just chuck it in the washing machine? He's like, no, this is a very special vestment. I can't just chuck it into a machine with other clothes. It needs to be taken very, very special care. And it was a reminder that we need to have a deeper appreciation for our relationship with Jesus. Because ultimately, he's the one that leads us to salvation. Without Jesus, what's the point of our existence? The bottom line is that Jesus' existence in our life is to help us get to a better place. The second part that we can learn from Mary is her impeccable ability to discern what was necessary and unnecessary. There's a story of a person who was he was a Christian. He was living in a place that had a few homeless people not far from him. So one day he used to go to a local place that was part of his like regular lunch place, and every time he'd go, he'd see a woman who was poor. She was homeless. She had blisters all over her legs, and she just needed to be attended to. And every time he'd walk past her for lunch, he'd say, "Oh yeah, next time I walk past her, I'll do something for that woman." And this went for about maybe 2 months. After 2 months, he heard a message in the gospel talking about when Jesus said, "In as much as he did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, he did it to me." And immediately he remembered this woman. And so he got up, he prepared some food, and he took some money and he went out to serve this woman. And as he got to the spot where this woman usually was, she wasn't there. She was gone. She was nowhere to be found. And so in our life, we need to have an impeccable ability to discern what to do and when to do it. It's really important that if we have an opportunity to do something, sit at Jesus' feet, pour out our heart to our Lord and ask Him for forgiveness, ask Him for our repentance. We need to offer that straight away. Mary did what was necessary. She sat at His feet. She wept for her brother Lazarus to be saved. She poured the spikenard oil on his feet. She knew what was necessary. She also knew what was unnecessary. She knew she didn't need to serve Jesus at her house. She knew that she didn't need to worry about her brother Lazarus because Jesus was the one who was going to raise her. She knew not to save the oil, the precious oil that costs so much money. She knew not to save it and pour it on Jesus' feet. So it's really, really important not only to know what is necessary, but also to understand in our lives what is an unnecessary thing that we should be carrying. What's unnecessary in our life that's going to distract us from our love of Jesus. The last thing that we can take from Mary is her humility and her vulnerability. The humility to get down to Jesus' feet and wash his feet with her hair and anoint his head with the spikenard oil. That's the currency that God loves when we do something in complete humility. There's another story of a missionary who went out to serve somewhere in Asia, and he got to the facility where they were serving, and he looked at one of the children, and the children had like diarrheaed himself. He had poo kind of on his leg. His body was completely disgusting, and he like just, you know, didn't look like someone that anyone wanted to touch. So he started complaining to one of the nuns, like, "I come here to serve, and you want me to go and change this boy's clothes? You want me to wipe his diarrhea off his body?" And she said, "Yeah, that's what we do." As he was saying that, a woman arrived across from the river on a boat. And the first thing she did, she ran directly to that child. She went straight to him. She took that child with the diarrhea kind of dripping off her arm and took him and, you know, bathed him and clothed him and brought him out. And the missionary, the boy who was on this mission trip, he was a bit like, you know, like not understanding of like what this situation was. So he said to the nun, "Who's this woman?" And she said to him, "Can you look across the river? Can you see the Hilton Hotel?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "That's the manager's wife. Every day she comes across the river to serve these children who are orphans." So it's with great humility and vulnerability in our service for other people that's acceptable in Jesus and God's eyes. It really is an important part of Christian living to serve people in humility. We also know that in this story, the oil was poured on Jesus, for his burial. And what we come to understand is that even the most significant or insignificant gestures for Jesus are really important. This gesture of Mary pouring the oil on Jesus' feet and head was something that Jesus used and he kind of recognized as something that had been done for his burial. Keeping in mind that there was no time to anoint Jesus before his burial. Okay, the Sabbath wouldn't allow people to do anything. And then on Sunday, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb to anoint Jesus. But because of what had happened previously, that gesture was what Jesus used after his crucifixion and for his burial. So what we come to understand is that Jesus takes significant and insignificant gestures that we show. Even as he says, he'll never forget a cup of water for a person in need. There's a story about a priest, I'm pretty sure it's Father Bishoy Kamen, who shows this deep love in action. There was, I think, a girl in his congregation that was planning to get married to someone from an Islamic faith. And they were at the house and he was trying to, you know, bring her back into the church. But, you know, she was convinced that she wanted to be with this person. So they both got up and left the house and they got in the car. And as they got in the car, the Father Bishoy held onto the car and the car started driving off. And he held on. And the girl's saying to the driver, stop the car, you know, like the Abuna's at the back. And he kept driving and driving and Abuna's getting dragged on the ground. And then eventually he stops the car and they get down to see is the priest, you know, is he okay? Is he hurt? And she realizes at that moment his deep love for her. And her partner said, let's go, let's get back in the car. And she said, I can't. So when we deeply appreciate Jesus, when we really, really appreciate Jesus in our life, it has the capacity to move people very much. Loved ones, strangers, it doesn't matter. Because that love that we have for Jesus, it can't be hidden. And it's the same way. This priest, he actually held onto the car, okay, because he loved this person so much. And that's what it had to take for her to come back. But it happened and it worked. Then we turn to Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples. And in a way, Judas is symbolic of Pharaoh. In the Old Testament, in Exodus, we read that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And recently, my wife and I have been reading Exodus and trying to understand why was Pharaoh's heart so hard? Like, why didn't he just understand to let the Israelites go? Why was he so attached to the Israelites? And when you look at Judas and Pharaoh, you can actually see a lot of similarities. Both of them were attached to material things. Pharaoh, attached to his empire. If he let the Israelites go, that would really set him back. Because when he enslaved the Israelites, he used their manpower to build his empire. Same thing with Pharaoh. Same thing with Judas. Judas was completely enslaved by his love for money. Although he was part of the 12, although Judas was part of the 12, he was completely not in Jesus' spirit. His mind and his heart was completely attached to the material. And you can substitute money for a lot of things. Greed, jealousy. Power, status. So we look at Judas, and in replacement of an appreciation, we see something that is transactional. And today I want us to reflect on how we can not just be transactional in our relationship with Jesus. Jesus, God, if I land this job or if I land this deal, or if you give me entry into this degree, or if you, you know, let me go on this holiday, then I'll serve you more. If we look at Mary, her relationship to Jesus was not transactional at all. It was completely intuitive and heartfelt. It was led by the Spirit. There was no barrier for her to love Jesus. It was just a very open relationship, very open dialogue. Whereas Judas had restrictions and barriers. Pharaoh didn't understand the story of God. He was completely blinded by his love for his wealth and his empire, and Judas was completely blinded by his love for money. We also realize that Judas didn't understand the significance of Jesus in his life. If you think about it, Judas followed Jesus for how many years? How close was Judas to Jesus in the miracles that Jesus did? How close was Judas to Jesus in the way that he interacted with people? How close was Judas in his understanding of Jesus' philosophy on this earth? Not to love this world, to detach from anything material, and to cast one's eyes on the heavenlies. So for us, it's a message of, yes, we're in and amongst Jesus' community and we share in this Passion Week. But how significant is Jesus in our life? By the way, I'm saying this, I'm guilty of everything that I've spoken about. I'm not saying this because, you know, I do everything right. I'm the first one to put my hand up and say I fall short on a lot of things. But how significant is Jesus in our life? How much time do we actually give Jesus of our day? So it leads us to another point about Judas. Judas's master was something completely different. Judas's master was not Jesus. And we realize something like pretty common in our journey is that when we start to deviate from our love for Jesus, our attraction to other things becomes greater. So if we start to disconnect from the Word of God, if we start to disconnect from the sacraments, if we start to disconnect from our community, if we start to disconnect from everything that we're meant to be living as a Christian, what starts to happen is other things start to grow bigger. Other things start to become more significant to us. So we must be very, very attentive to what is the most significant thing in our life. And if it's not Jesus, then we've got the wrong direction. This was very this actually happened to the Israelites when they were saved and released from Pharaoh, when they were in the wilderness and Moses went up to Mount Sinai. Out of their boredom, they made another god. They made a golden calf, if you remember. And it's typical of us as humans that when we have a disconnection from God, we start to make other gods in our life, whether it be money, greed, status, power. We always try and replace with something else. The last thing that Judas showed was his stubbornness and pride. This was the thing that prevented him from really getting to know who Jesus was. The only thing that he could think of was the money that could have been made from that fragrant oil. Judas was fixated on his own mission. He didn't really understand the mission that Jesus was leading, and he didn't support him in that. And so the paradox can clearly be seen between Mary and Judas. Mary focused her relationship and journey with Jesus. Judas was distracted by his relationship to the money. Mary had an impeccable ability to discern what was necessary, where Judas's focus was on the unnecessary. Mary had a deep level of humility and vulnerability, where Judas had a level of pride and stubbornness. this week, we have an opportunity to really think about where we want to be. Do we want to be on the side of Mary at Jesus' feet, pouring our heart out to Jesus, giving and serving as much as we can? Or do we want to be on the side of Judas, looking at how our relationship can just be transactional? It can just be one-sided. St. Augustine says a really beautiful thing. He says, God has promised you forgiveness for your repentance today, but he has not promised you a tomorrow for your procrastination. And in the prayer book that we got for Holy Week, Father Anthony M. Coniaris, at the beginning of the book, talks about our spiritual journey. He says, perfection in this life, according to Orthodox theology and spirituality, is not the state of I have arrived, I have made it, I am saved. Rather, it is a state of I am on the way, I am moving, I am on a journey, I am growing. Man's life is never complete. We shall always be on the way. Our very perfection is to grow more perfect, more like Christ, and this is a never-ending process. I pray that the Passion Week for you is memorable this year and that we really try and benefit from the next 3 days with our Lord Jesus Christ. And glory be to God forever.
Pe Hristos pe en sotir
ia se
hena hene evem ka
the Father, the Pantocrator, and the Holy Begotten Son, who created and ordered all things, and the Holy Spirit, the giver of life, the Holy Trinity, before whom every knee bows in heaven and on earth. We ask you, Lord, to hear us and have mercy upon us. For the heavenly peace and unity of all the churches and the world and monasteries, and for those dwelling in and caring for the holy places, O God, have compassion on creation and deliver it from all evil. We ask you, Lord, to hear us and have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy.
O you who by your power planned the life of man before his creation and created all that exists by your wisdom, and adorned the heavens with the stars, and the earth with plants, trees, and vineyards, and the valleys with meadows and flowers. O our King, accept now the supplications of your servants, who place themselves in your hands and say, we ask you, Lord, to hear us and have mercy upon us. Holy God, who created man in his image and likeness and gave him...
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.